Come this evening to question 89, Shorter Catechism. How is the Word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. How is the Word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. It's important as we consider this that we recognise that, of course, it is the Word of God. When it speaks about the Word, it is the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. This is the precious seed that God has given, the life-giving seed. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the apostle says, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is the word which is made effectual unto salvation. The word is the revelation of the truth, of God's truth. Now there's a sense in which all truth belongs to God. You might say that the mathematical formulas which children have to learn are an expression of God's truth, that 2 plus 2 equals 4. There is purpose and there is a measure and there is a predictability in the creation. This idea of random meaninglessness is random and meaningless and is not true. But this is specifically the revelation that God has given in his word, the revelation of himself, the revelation of his own person. This is the word of truth. And it, we're told, it is the Spirit of God that maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners. The Spirit of God. It's out with man. So what is required is not first and foremost a reaching deep within. Or for the preacher, it's not appealing to a person's better nature. But rather, we have a dependence upon God. That the word would be made effectual to salvation leaves us dependent upon the Spirit of God to so bless the word. Total depravity is not a reference to a person being as bad as they might possibly be, but rather is a way of describing the fact that we have an inability to do what is perfectly good before God. And therefore, there must be a work which doesn't originate within us, but must originate out with us, so that we might be brought to acknowledge and rejoice in the truth of God and do that which is right, which is to confess him, to trust him, and to live for his glory. The Spirit is not addressed in preaching, but the Spirit is the necessary agent of preaching, that he would take the word and he would so bless it, he would make it effectual. It's not enough to have the mere presence of God's word. There's many people who have a Bible on a shelf and they think there is some merit in that. But God's word is not a magical charm, some sort of amulet that bestows a blessing just by simply coming into the proximity of it. It must be brought to bear upon the individual. Not through a changing in the word, but through a changing in the hearer. That's what's required. Without that effectual working of the Spirit upon the individual, it is impossible for us to see. It is impossible for us to hear. For our eyes are blind and our ears are blocked and our hearts are hardened and dead. How is the word made effectual to salvation? By the Spirit of God. Now, Christ and the benefits of redemption are not communicated to us in a vacuum, but rather the Spirit of God communicates them to us through the reading and the preaching of the word. The Spirit is not then addressed in preaching, but is the necessary agent of preaching, that he would bless the word. And so we must plead for that. Plead for that for ourselves, but plead for that for one another and for all who hear, that the gracious Spirit would accompany the ministry of his word. Psalm 43, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thine holy hill and to thy tabernacles. May they go forth effectually. The Spirit who has given the word is the one who must give you to the word. Just in the same way as the shining of light doesn't enable a blind person to see, the eyes must be opened. And then the shining of the light can be appreciated and it's possible to benefit from it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. But yet, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, and it's important for us to consider this tonight and to see that the word is made effectual to salvation. It's by the Spirit of God, but that we must put ourselves, as it were, in the place where the Spirit blesses his word. It's with utter dependence upon him. It's not a mechanical thing. It's not by proximity, but yet it is in the reading and the hearing of the word that blessing is to be enjoyed. This is where and how the Spirit works. And so we must wait upon him. And so we don't pray, as it were, from a distance, but we draw near and we attain to his word. And we listen to the preaching. And we cry out, Lord, show me yourself. Deal with me in mercy. Don't leave me to myself. But it would be a mockery to make that prayer and not to attend upon his word. Not to look for his blessing. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means. The reading is not simply the mechanical reading, but a meditative reading, a thoughtful reading. The reality is that one does not need to be a specialist in order to read and benefit from the word of God. That was the idea which underpinned the whole Roman Catholic system leading up to the Reformation, that it was necessary to have a priest, and it was dangerous for the common people to have access to the scripture. Martin Luther could only study the scriptures because of his privileged position in the priesthood. But he discovered it was there, as an individual before God, not as a priest within a system. The Spirit maketh the reading. It's true that specialist knowledge helps to understand biblical culture and history, to understand something about the geography, to have an overview of the theology. That's why one of the reasons why we're going through the Shorter Catechism, because it assists us in having a framework to understand the teachings of the Scripture. But never fail to read God's Word and to ask for His blessing upon His Word, because this is the Word of life, and the Lord has promised to bless His Word. So come expectantly, with dependence, but yet expectantly. Isn't it amazing that the Lord does not bypass our minds, but rather will illuminate the mind through reading or hearing the word preached, so that we might perceive, but yet there is a spiritual application and blessing in that. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word. Why is it especially the preaching? Well, we have to understand, of course, that it's not the additional words of the preacher. The preacher's responsibility is to give an explanation, we would say an exposition of the gospel. Not diluting God's word with his own many words, but rather explaining the scripture in context, leading and instructing in the truth. As an under shepherd, the Lord is the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep. But he has, in his mercy, raised up those who are to go out as under shepherds and to instruct, to address the mind of the hearers, to address the heart of the hearers, to address the conscience of the hearers. One of the reasons, perhaps, that preaching is particularly blessed is because preaching ought to be a more considered reflection on the word. Reading, we don't always have time to reflect upon it. We don't have the capacity to reflect upon it in a way that maybe a preacher has that time and has that experience and has that capacity, has a certain skill in bringing God's word and instructing the people of God. Not with his own learning, but simply saying, this is what the Bible teaches. The scripture must be central. It's not a springboard for psychology or anything else, but it's to bring the word of God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it speaks there about the foolishness of preaching. Now, that's not foolish preaching. Foolish preaching is where the preacher has not prepared and does not set out the word well. But the foolishness of preaching is a reference to the fact that it is, you might say, the mere presentation of the truth of Christ. It is the words spoken by men to other men, but yet with the blessing of God, it is made effectual to salvation. There is no elaborate ceremony. There is no great ritual. There is no a dramatic initiation. There is no priesthood, but it is the simple telling of the gospel, a relating of the good news. One sinful man speaking to another. With an angel from glory speaking with a personal authority or speaking with a perfection. But one sinner speaking to another sinner. Perhaps one of the reasons why the Lord has ordered it to be so is that it can be humbling to be dependent upon another under God. And perhaps another reason why the Lord has ordered it to be so is that it unifies the church. For if it was simply our private reading, We would read all in our different corners, and we would go our own particular ways. But because it is particularly the preaching of the word, we must come together to hear that preaching, to enable that preaching, to facilitate that preaching. And so we come together, which brings its own challenges and brings its own encouragements, which brings its own testimony to the world around, that the Lord deals with us collectively, that the Lord deals with us in fellowship. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners. Convincing and converting. There's two stages or two aspects there, isn't there? The convincing maybe speaks more about the intellectual movement, where the mind recognises the truth of what has been said and of the personal need within that as a sinner to be saved. Enlightening the mind in the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of oneself, as we truly are, and not that veneer that we put on, that face which we paint and say everything's fine, but recognising that we're sinners, without any other hope, with no other hope before God, but that he would redeem and save. Convincing, but also converting. The Spirit maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting. That's a movement of the soul toward Christ. To be born again, to be converted, to be renewed, to be given life, to be changed eternally. It happens under the gospel, the reading, but especially the preaching of the word. There's a danger that we don't realise the tremendous privilege and opportunity that we're given. There's a danger that we don't come to the house of God with any sense of expectation or excitement. But friends, the Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. You should be there on the edge of your seat. It's not about the preacher. It's not about the competency of the preacher. But it's about the blessing of the Spirit of God upon the word. And sometimes the preacher may be lacking, and the sermon may be lacking in different aspects. But if the blessing of God is upon it, if we would plead for that blessing, and if we would enjoy that blessing, what reviving, personal and corporate and national, there would be. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners. It's not wonderful. It doesn't say the elect. The elect is an unidentifiable group, as you look out upon individuals. But the word is not to be addressed to some, a select few, but it's for sinners. And it's sinners who will be convicted and converted. And so as a sinner, you're to come and draw near to God and cry out to him to show you mercy as you acknowledge the truth of what you are and who he is. As he has reveal that to you, as he has brought you to understand that, as you feel the weight of that. If you know the weight of the reality of a holy God and of your sin before him, that realization, is it not the work of the Spirit of God? And enlightening your mind in the knowledge of Christ and revealing to you the deadness of your own soul? Should you not then press on with expectation? Oh, you feel unworthy and you are unworthy. That's not a reason to hold back. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort. So that speaks about the entering into the Christian life, being convinced and converted, and now it's speaking about the ongoing Christian life, of being built up. The foundation is laid, and after the foundation is laid, there's a building up, and there should be development and growth and increase. And how is that development, growth and increase done? It is through the same way, through the preaching of the, through the hearing, the reading, and the hearing of the word. So Paul writes in 2 Timothy, to Timothy, and says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. You long to be holy, to be free from sin, to depart from iniquity. Are you seeking comfort? Well, seek it where it is to be found, which is through the word of God, reading it and hearing it. That's where comfort comes. Not so much in our experience, but from the knowledge of God and an assurance, not of self, but an assurance of who he is, the revelation of him. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Through faith. That's the response of the believer. That's the response of the individual who is convinced and converted, is that they believe. They acknowledge the truth of this. They stand upon the truth of this. They say everything else may be taken away, but I know that God is faithful and his word endures forever. And therefore I wait upon God. And everything else may fail and everything else may break. And everything else may be disappointing, but when it comes to God, I rejoice in God alone. Through faith unto salvation. That's the ultimate end, and that's the inevitable end. That's the certain end. That when the Spirit of God blesses his word, there will be salvation. For the Spirit does not begin a work and leave it undone. There is nothing incomplete in the work of God. So Paul is able to say, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Refining, reforming, sanctifying, a growing in grace. How is the word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. And therefore, let me conclude by exhorting you to make every effort to attend upon God's word, to have the daily discipline of reading the scriptures. Just as you eat regularly, so you should feed your soul regularly. Maybe there's parts of the scriptures you really struggle to understand, but don't neglect to read them. Read systematically, a little and a little and a little. A chapter is a reasonable measure. But maybe not always a chapter. Maybe sometimes more than a chapter. But read the Word regularly, praying for the effectual working of the Spirit upon it, and attend upon the preaching of the Word. If you can be there, be there. I know some of you can't be there, and I know that grieves you and that vexes you. And often it's the wrong people who feel guilty when you exhort and a great better attendance at church. But if you are able to be there, be there. And if you can't, then still you can attend upon it, because we have so many blessings in our society. Don't neglect the means of grace. This is how Christ communicated himself and all the benefits of redemption. Amen. Mr. McLeod, would you please lead us in prayer?